Complete in thee, no work of mine could take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and I shall stand complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified my God shall be. Complete in thee, no more shall sin be all I do and am within. Thy grace hath set this prisoner free, and I shall stand complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified my God shall be. Complete in thee, each need supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, will be, I need none else. Complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified my God shall be. Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among thy chosen will I be, at thy right hand, complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be.
I love to get up and preach after I heard the gospel preached so clearly. My thought is, if I end up darkening counsel with words without knowledge, that everybody's got to hear something glorious. And that was such a blessing. Thank you so much for that message. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 2? Verse 11, Romans chapter 2. For For there is no respect of persons with God. He's the only being in the universe of whom that can be said. The great demonstration of that is the cross. There is no respect of persons with God. Four, as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Only those who have done the law perfectly shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, these are people without a Bible, without a written revelation, they've never heard of the Ten Commandments. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, everybody knows it's wrong to lie. Everybody knows it's wrong to murder. Everybody knows it's wrong to steal. They have the law written in their heart. Everybody does. I get so annoyed when somebody says, teach us how to live. You already know. You really do. I do too. We're born with that knowledge. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. I'm either going to have an accusing conscience or I'm going to make an excuse. What's my fault? Now here's the text, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men. Got any secrets? When God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, this is one of three times that Paul uses the personal possessive pronoun, my gospel. My gospel. Now, the fact that we're here this morning indicates that you and I have what we would call my gospel. That which I hope will bring me into heaven when I die. My gospel. Is the gospel I call my gospel the gospel? That's what I want to know. Is the gospel that I call my gospel the gospel? Paul also uses the phrase this gospel as opposed to other gospels. Paul warned us of another gospel, which is not another, a different gospel, a gospel that does not save. This gospel is called in the scriptures the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. the word of the gospel. Do you know the gospel has specific words that if those words are not used, the gospel is not preached? It's got a specific content called the word of the gospel. The gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of Christ. The gospel of God. The gospel of his Son. Christ's gospel. Paul says several times, our gospel. The glorious gospel. The truth of the gospel. The gospel of your salvation. The gospel of peace. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The everlasting gospel. The gospel that never had a beginning and will never have an end. Is my gospel the gospel? The definite article, the, tells us that the gospel excludes all other gospels. Paul warned us in Galatians 1 of another gospel, which is not another, for some would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There are other gospels which do not save. Is what I call my gospel the gospel? The gospel of God. Turn back to Romans 1 for just a moment. Now in this message, I'm going to outdo Gabe's 10 points. I got 12. And they'll be brief. And they're all questions that can be answered with a yes or a no. Every one of these questions, I can answer with a yes or a no. With regard to the gospel I call my gospel. But let's look real briefly at Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The gospel is the gospel of God. You want me to tell you what we would be in real trouble if I was preaching the gospel of Todd? None of us would be saved. It's not the Baptist gospel. It's not the Catholic gospel. It's not the Reformed gospel. The gospel never needed reformed. When people talk about the Reformed faith, oh, the faith needs reform. Did you reform it? It's God's gospel, verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, the New Testament had not yet been fully written. He's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. If my gospel doesn't come from the Old Testament Scriptures, it is not God's gospel. The whole Old Testament identifies the gospel of God. And look what he says in verse 3 with regard to the gospel of God. It's the gospel concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gospel is not concerning making America a Christian nation again. It never was a Christian nation in the first place. It's not about some right-wing or left-wing political agenda. It's not about effecting or changing the culture. It's the gospel concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I love Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Don't you love his name? I hope we always say it with reverence. I hate it when people say his name flippantly. I love the way the disciples never came up to him and called him by his name, Lord and Master. And he said, you call me Lord and Master, and you say, well, for so I am. But I love his name, Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus Christ, he's the Christ. He's God's prophet. He's God's priest. He's God's king. He's like no other prophet. Every other prophet said, thus saith the Lord. He said, I say unto you. He's like no other priest. Every other priest brought the blood of an animal that could never take away sin. He brings his own precious blood into the presence of the Father. Oh, the power of his blood. He's like no other king because he is the king. He has all power. Every other king is only there by his appointment, and any power they have is his power. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. He is the Christ, God's prophet, God's priest, God's king. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's the Lord. He's the one whose will is always done. That's what is meant by him being Lord. When he created the universe, he did so as an act of his will. He willed the universe into creation. Whatever happens in time, whatever happened to you this morning, whatever happens to you in the next second, everything that's ever taken place is his will being done. What about nothing? It's his will being done. Salvation is his will being done. If you're saved, it's because he willed your salvation. He's Lord. He's Lord of the dead and the living. He's everybody's Lord. Somebody says, he's not my Lord. Yeah, he is. You may not know it, but he is. I am in his hand. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made, verse 3, of the seed of David according to the flesh. David's son is David's Lord. And he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh. He came in the flesh. A real man. He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God. God the Son. The second person of the Trinity. In the beginning was the Word. A distinct person. The Word was with God. And the Word was God, declared to be the Son of God with power. And here's two proofs. His holy life, the Spirit of holiness, empowered by the Holy Spirit without measure to never sin, the Spirit of holiness and the resurrection of the dead. You look in every other tomb, somebody's DNA is still in it. Some pile of dirt somewhere. He's the only tomb that is now empty. He was raised from the dead. Now, how can I know if my gospel, what I hope in, is the gospel? Like I said, I got 12 questions, and they're going to be very brief. I hope they'll be very easy to understand, and I hope every one of us can answer these questions. Well, we can answer these questions with a yes or no. And my first point is, does my gospel line up with the Old Testament scriptures? Let me give you one scripture. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Is the gospel that I believe, is the gospel I hope in, according to the Old Testament scriptures? And there's so much we could say about that, but I want to give one example. Here's the gospel according to the Old Testament scriptures. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He didn't say, when I see your faith. He didn't say, when I see your sincerity. He didn't say, when I see your understanding and knowledge. He didn't say, when I see your progress. He didn't say, when I see your changed life. He didn't say, when I see your decision. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. There's one thing he was looking for. One thing. The blood of his dear son. What if someone had committed some horrible sin that very day that would make you blush? Would he pass over him? If he's in the house with the blood over the door. Is my gospel the gospel that lines up with the Old Testament scriptures? Second question. Does my gospel give God all the glory in salvation? God said, my glory I will not share with another. Now, if me and you are seeking our glory, what is it? Sin. Evil. Just wrong. If God seeks his own glory, it's only appropriate for his glorious person, isn't it? Now, in salvation, let me give a scenario. If you're saved at the beginning of your salvation with God responding to something you do, your decision, an act of your will, who gets the glory? You do. If God responded to something you did, you get the glory. Somebody else didn't do it. You did. You're the difference. What if about in the middle of your salvation, you become more holy, better, through your diligence and self-denial and scripture reading and prayer, you become more holy and less sinful, while your brother who's not quite as spiritual as you didn't reach your level? Who gets the glory there? You do. What about the end of your salvation, when rewards are passed out and you, through your diligent life, gain a higher reward than your brother? Who gets the glory? You do. If in my salvation, God doesn't get all the glory in every aspect, to every degree, My gospel is not the gospel. Thirdly, third question. Does my gospel give the preeminence to Jesus Christ in all things? Now, examine yourself. Does my gospel, the gospel I believe, give the preeminence to Jesus Christ in all things? Now, the only way that can be answered is, do I really believe that Jesus Christ is all? Do I believe that Jesus Christ is all in the scriptures? That every scripture is him? Do I believe he is all to God, all that God requires? Do I believe he's all that God is? Do I believe he's all in every doctrine? He's the sum and substance of every truth in the scripture. Do I believe that? Do I see it? Do I see that he's all in my salvation, that all God requires of me, he looks to Christ for? Do I see he's all in my experience? What do you mean by that? The only hope I have is his faith. I believe that. The only hope I have is his sincerity, his love, his life. He is all in my experience. I don't trust anything about me. And I got good reason to not trust it. In Paul put it this way in Colossians 1:18, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Does he have the preeminence in every aspect of your salvation? Now, if he doesn't, your gospel is not the gospel. Fourth question. Does my gospel violate any of the attributes of God? Now, his attributes, who he is as he's revealed in the scriptures. He's holy. He's absolutely sovereign. That means he's the first cause of everything. His will is always done. He is absolutely just. He's absolutely righteous. He's immutable. He can't change. He's independent. He has no needs. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. All of his glorious attributes that are revealed in the scripture. His isness is revealed in the Word of God. Does the gospel that I believe violate any of those attributes? If it does, it's not the gospel. And let me give you an example of what I'm saying. Most stuff that goes on under the umbrella of what they call Christianity. I'm not going there, but most people believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood for everybody without exception. But it's up to you as to whether or not you'll be saved. It depends on the decision you make. You've got to exercise your will and choose him and believe, and only then will you be saved. He could die for you, but you might wind up in hell anyway if you don't do your part. Do you know that violates every attribute of God? Every single attribute. I mean, it violates his justice. You mean he can punish your sin and then punish you all over again for it in hell? Why, that's against the justice of God. It's against his love. He can love you and yet send you to hell. It's against his immutability that he could change in his view of you. It's against his sovereignty. It's against his wisdom. Every attribute of God is denied in that kind of belief. Does the gospel, I believe, violate any of the attributes of God? If it does, it's not the gospel. Is my gospel the gospel? Fifth question. I love this. Does my gospel actually honor God's law? The Ten Commandments. The reward for obedience and the punishment for disobedience. Does my gospel actually honor the law of God? God's holy law. Somebody says, well, I do my best. I try to keep the commandments. That ain't good enough. That's not even close. Somebody says, well, I try to keep the law. No, you don't. No, you don't. Be honest. I mean, I love God's law. I do. I love God's law. And I know not one time in my personal experience have I kept one commandment one time. But the gospel, my gospel, honors God's law. It gives me a perfect obedience before God's law. So God's law looks me over, just like you said, out of Jeremiah 50:20. The law of God will look me over and there'll be no sin. Perfect righteousness. All sin is punished in the cross. Oh, my gospel honors the holy law of God. Now, does your gospel honor God's law? Don't deal with this. Deal with this. May God give me grace to deal with it. Does my gospel actually honor the law of God? Here's the sixth question. Does my gospel meet the sinner where he is? Dead in sins. Not where he should be, but where he is. And you hath he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. Like the Good Samaritan coming to the man who was, Scripture says, half dead. Half dead. You know, I used to think, well, what in the world's that? How can you be half dead? Well, you can be half dead. You can be spiritually dead and physically alive. He was still physically alive at the time, but he was spiritually dead. But the Scripture says the Good Samaritan came to him where he was. And that's what I need Christ to do for me, to come to me where I am, because I can't get to him. He's got to come to me where I am, dead in trespasses and sins, and do everything for me to save me. Does my gospel come to me where I am? Here's the seventh question. Told you I'd be quick. Will my gospel save the chief of sinners? Now, I wish I could deal with this the way I ought to deal with it, and with the problem, but I won't. But let me give it a shot. Who's the chief of sinners? Me. And the problem with that is, if you agree with me, I'll get mad at you. You're as bad as I am. But let's try to think of this as it ought to be thought of. The chief of sinners is somebody who, in their heart of hearts, before God, they believe that all they are is sin, and that they cannot not sin. And in their heart of hearts, they really believe their sin's their fault. They're not blaming anybody. They're not victims. It's all their fault. They can't be like Adam. The woman you gave me, if you hadn't given her to me, it wouldn't have happened. All my sin is all my fault. I cannot look in judgment on any human being for any action, because I know, you know that scripture, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art, the judgest, for thou the judgest doest the same things. No, I don't. God says you do. Don't say, no, I don't. Yeah, you do. Worse. Worse. Well, that's the way I used to be. No, that's the way you are now. I have no claims on God. If he sent me to hell, just and holy is his name if he passed me by. Can your gospel save the chief of sinners? Mine can. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I love it that there's no adjective before that. It doesn't say repentant sinners. It doesn't say believing sinners. It doesn't say sensible sinners. That's the one I think is so funny. Sensible sinners? I thought they were stupid. Just sinners. Just sinners. Are you in that demographic? Christ Jesus came into the world to save you. I guarantee he did. That's what the Bible says. Eighth question. Does my gospel provide all that God requires? My gospel, the gospel I'm relying on to bring me into heaven, does it provide all that God, I'm talking about the living God, the God of the Bible. I'm not talking about some kind of weak God. I'm talking about the God of glory. Does my gospel provide all that God requires? My God, or the God of the Bible, not my God, requires perfect righteousness. He provides it. He requires satisfaction to his law. He provides it. He requires that all sin be punished. He provides it. He requires faith. He provides it. He requires repentance. He provides it. He requires a new heart. He gives it. Everything God requires, everything he provides. If there's anything he didn't require, or that he did require that I don't have, that he doesn't provide, I won't be saved. All he requires, he provides. Will my gospel keep me saved? This is the ninth question. Will my gospel keep me saved? You know, folks think, well, can you be saved and then be lost? Well, if you can, you already said it, Christ is a failure. If he intended to save me and shed his blood for me and I end up being lost, he failed in his intention. And salvation really is by works, bottom line. Salvation is by what you do. If you can't keep yourself, you won't be saved. And nobody will be saved if that's the case. Nobody will be saved. But thank God, he says, I give to my sheep eternal life. Eternal life. Now unto him, said Jude, that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. To present you, to keep you from falling, to cause you to persevere all the way to the end, and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior. Yes, my gospel is able to cause me to persevere all the way to the end, which really is the evidence of salvation. You're saved if you go all the way to the end. And the only way me and you will go all the way to the end is if we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, kept looking to Christ only. 10th question. Can I face death and judgment with my gospel? I might die tomorrow, but I do know I'm on the downhill slide. I mean, you know, I remember when I was a kid, 63 years old, put him in a grave. I mean, that's, you know, you've lived long enough. You're just in the way. So I know I'm in that area of, I'm going down. I don't have much longer. I don't. Neither do you. What is your life? A vapor that appears for a little while. I mean, it's just gone quick. Can I face death and the judgment of God with the gospel I believe? Well, let me tell you how I can know. If this is true, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You know, if that's so, I'm good to go. I can face death and judgment if I don't have any sin, if there's no condemnation. Listen to Paul's words in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not? What could possibly prevent him from freely giving us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that can condemn? Christ died. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Oh, I can face death and judgment with that. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we. Do you hear that? How's he? Oh, he's lovely to the Father. He's perfect. He's altogether without sin. As he is, so are we. Yeah, I'm ready for judgment. If that's so, it is. It is. 11th question. Will my gospel make me perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? You know, heaven would not be heaven to me if I had to take my wicked nature there with me. Whom he did foreknow, then he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, if that's the way I'm conformed to his image, yeah, my gospel, the gospel I believe, what I hope in, it's going to perfectly conform me to the image of Jesus Christ. I'll be just like him. I won't have any sin. I won't even remember what it's like to be a sinner. When I'm in heaven, I won't remember my sin. But I'll know when I look at the scars on his hands and feet, I'll know he's the only reason I'm there. But I won't remember what it's like to be a sinner. And that's it. You know, we just heard that song, Waiting for My Body That Will Never Sin. Waiting for my body that will never sin. Now here's my last question. my gospel enable me to rest? What do you mean by resting? There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. For he that's entered into his rest hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. God created the universe on the seventh day. He rested. Why? Because the work was very good, very complete. Nothing could be added. He that's entered into his rest hath ceased from his own works. What's that look like? Listen to this scripture. To him that worketh not. You have some understanding that if salvation is by works, you have no hope. You work not. Need to be working. You need to be not working. To him that worketh not. Salvation by works for you is impossible. You're sure of that. If any aspect of salvation is dependent upon you doing anything or not doing anything, you won't be saved. You believe that? To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, that resteth in him. That justifieth the ungodly. Here's what you're resting in. You're not working. You're resting in him that justifies the ungodly. Resting. Do not disturb. Is my gospel the gospel? Does it line up with the Old Testament scriptures? Does my gospel give God all the glory? Does my gospel give the preeminence to Jesus Christ in all things? Does my gospel violate any of the attributes of God? Does my gospel honor God's holy law? Does my gospel meet the sinner where he is? Dead. Will my gospel save the chief of sinners? Does my gospel provide all that God requires? Will my gospel keep me saved? Can I face death and judgment with my gospel? Will my gospel perfectly conform me to the image of Jesus Christ? Does my gospel allow me to rest? You can answer, I can answer all those with a yes or no. If my answer is yes to those, yes, my gospel is the gospel.
The scripture says that the gospel, God's gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. This weekend went by very quickly. What a blessing. Gabe, thank you for your message this morning. We opened this weekend, Friday night, by reading a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'd like to close this weekend with some verses from this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We've heard this weekend that you did not choose me, I chose you. Salvation is by the sovereign election of God. Somebody might be thinking, well, how do I know that if he's chosen me? Well, the scripture tells us in this passage of scripture what those people whom he has chosen look like. So if you see yourself in the description that God gives, you can have some comfort that the Lord has chosen you. Look at verse 27. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. Scripture speaks of man being foolish and God being wise. And the only wisdom I have is found in Christ, who God has made to be my wisdom. Left to myself, I'm a fool. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, those who have no strength, and that while we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 28, the base things of the world and the things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not. That's his summary of those whom he has chosen, things that are not. We have nothing in ourselves, and we have everything in Christ. To bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We are the true circumcision. Worship God, worship Christ in the Spirit. Rejoicing, worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. That's my gospel, Todd. And I'm so thankful the Lord has given us such a clear description of him and us and his gospel. Pray that the Spirit of God will be pleased to make it effectual to our hearts. We're going to enjoy a meal together over in the fellowship hall. I hope you can stay for that. Tom's going to come lead us in a closing hymn. And while we sing, I know we have some folks that are flying out this afternoon that want to grab a bite to eat before they have to leave. So we'll let them head over. And anyone involved in preparing the food, please feel free to be dismissed now and or when we stand to sing. And we'll go over there in a few minutes. Okay. 168. Let's stand together, number 168.
Lord, I hear of showers of blessing. Thou art scattering full and free. Showers the thirsty land refreshing, let some drops now fall on me, even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, O tender Savior, let me love and cling. I am longing for thy favor, whilst thou art calling, oh, call me, even me, even me. Let thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, O mighty Spirit, thou canst make the blind. word of power to me. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Love of God so pure and changeless, blood of Christ so rich and free, grace of God so strong and boundless, magnify them all in me. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, thy lost one bringing, bind my heart, O Lord, to thee. While the streams of life are springing, blessing others, O bless me. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me.
We will not have our regular midweek service this coming Wednesday night. Okay, so we'll gather back together next Sunday. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for thy dear Son. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you for the hope of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry of your Spirit that opens our eyes and gives faith to our hearts to believe. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your people, and for your church. Thank you for the time of fellowship and encouragement that we can enjoy together. We pray your blessings on this as you've blessed us this weekend, Lord. Continue to abide with us. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.